Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti, my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody.
Okay, so even though I thought we were going to stop doing the abduction shows, this kind of just came flying in and it kind of ties things together. And, you know, I'm coming to the conclusion that the way information, I have to follow energy. So tonight the lion shall lay down together with the lamb. And this is, and I'll read you the piece. It's not long. The lion and the lamb shall lay down together is often cited as a prophecy, speaking of a literal utopia on earth to come. A golden age referred to as the millennium. It's argued that since so many of the prophecies regarding the Christ first appearing were fulfilled literally, surely some prophecies of a golden age will also be fulfilled literally. This yet-to-come golden age, the millennium, is spoken of as paradise restored, an age of paradise on earth where there will be no death, sorrow, pain, or sickness. The prophets describe this era with the expression, the lion and the lamb, shall lay down together. But there's a slight, ever so slight problem with this. The expression, the lion and the lamb shall lay down together, does not occur in the Bible. The closest we can get to it is Isaiah 11:6.
Isn't that the Bible?
Well, Isaiah 11:6, it actually talks about the wolf and the sheep and so on. But this, you know, the lion and the lamb shall lay down together has been around for a very long time, and I was doing something this week, and it came in so strong, and I'll talk about what's been going on around me, and it was, you know, it was I thought an epiphany, but I've got a lot of visitors in this week, and I don't mean physical. So let's talk about the energies for just a minute. For all of you wondering if you will ever have energy again or are be able to sleep through the night or get rid of the heart palpitations and the sweating, honestly, truly, I go from 100 miles an hour to a screeching halt to 20, maybe 5. And then, boom, I'm ramped again. It is so bizarre. And I know that I, based on the emails for support I'm getting from people, it's like, oh my gosh. And, you know, the digestion and, oh God, you name it. And I absolutely know, and I do want to say this to everyone, your sensitivities are going to be different. Please body test your food and your supplements because right now things are so, we're so sensitive that what worked for us an hour ago may not work right now. Have you been getting reports, Ronnie, from everybody on the same?
A lot of digestion, yeah, I would say that. Not so much the food and the testing, but then I've been a bit of a whirlwind in hospitals and all kinds of stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, lots of digestive problems.
Lots of digestion
problems. Yeah, lots of second and third chakra stuff. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots and lots. Lots of breathing issues. And what I'm finding is my food sensitivity, I have a couple of food sensitivities, and now if I eat like cheese, forget it, I can't breathe.
Oh really?
Oh my Lord!
My nose has been burning and all kinds of weird things too. And I'm I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but I'm getting some sensitivity that I can't really pinpoint yet.
Right. Again, things that you may have been mildly sensitive to before that you didn't notice may come flying in right now to say hello.
Right.
Hopefully, this too shall pass. But wheat, dairy, not sun. great piece by Debbie Ford, and this kind of fits into everything that's going on right now, especially tonight's show. Compassion or hate, you choose. Can you imagine having your heart so wide open that you were able to look through divine eyes at each and every moment and see the wounds of our fellow brothers and sisters of the world? And I would add the cosmos here. Can you imagine being so clear with your own stuff that you were able to bring compassionate love to all of those who carry evil and hate?
That's interesting. Well, I've been thinking about this so much.
Okay, what do you think this would afford you? What could this compassionate heart do for your family, your friends, and your community? It's so easy to close our eyes and think that our individual resentments and hate have no effect on the world, but they do. This is the sad truth. We will not heal until all of us heal. We'll not be able to express our greatest self until we're standing in our greatest self. And our greatest self is the self of the wise, compassionate sage who knows that there's more going on than what we can actually see. Love that. This story, by the way, actually is much longer, and it had to do with meeting Mobutu, who is the brutal warlord in Africa. And her sister was there and had to meet Mobutu, and she had such a conflict over having to shake his hand. And so this article was born out of that experience. So I had an epiphany this week, and I've been having a ton of different experiences, so my little head is spinning. And I had the arrival of two old friends that have crossed over. First one, oh gosh, I was engaged to a million years ago. But right after my divorce, which really was a million years ago, and his job unequivocally was just to open me back up. You know, he lived in Calgary and took me places and introduced me to different this, that, and the other. And I ended up, you know, my psychic ability, everything just came flying out. And so I'm always grateful to dear Fred. Could never marry him, was at his wedding, and he crossed over probably 9 or 10 years ago, and dear Natalia has felt his energy before. He's quite a character, and so he came flying into her, and I knew he had a message. And when I'm this busy and I'm this focused, I don't hear. I literally, unless I'm in channel, it's, you know, I don't necessarily, I may feel, but I don't hear. And anyway, he finally got the other rest of the message to her, which was to tell me that he'd be around for a couple of weeks working with me, which that's great. I have no problem with that. And I thought it was wonderful. It was quite a wise soul. And then I think the next day, she's driving, has to stop the car and get out. And she said, somebody else is in here for you. And I can't stop crying. And she had to get out of the car. And I said, oh, that's Tucker. My darling friend, Tucker, who I love dearly. And Fred and Tucker died within about maybe 6 months of each other, maybe a year. And Freddie always just loved Tucker, although he'd never met him. There was this great connection between the two. And so I really am thinking that, you know, these epiphanies I'm having are coming from me, and then I finally got the message because I've actually listened that they were coming from them. You know, the heights of ego when you actually think it's all you. I want to go into, this was the one about the lion shall lay down with a lamb. It just, it came flooding in so strong, I couldn't ignore it. It was just so powerful, and it really just kind of rocked me on everything because, you know, our work in the cosmos and our work with people on the planet and our families and so, in addition to that, there's been all of this incredible love coming in from so many different beings, so many different races. And I'm just getting waves and waves and waves of this. And you know, there are so many people assisting now. They've been doing this for a while, but, you know, I'm feeling them, the ones that are assisting here on Earth. Barbara Lamb, who has done tremendous work as a regressive hypnotherapist, specializing really in the arena of the reptilians. And she was a good friend of Dr. John Max. She's a beautiful, beautiful soul. And you really, if you go to YouTube, there are YouTubes on Barbara that are absolutely worth sitting down and watching, and it's Barbara Lamb, L-A-M-B. The minute you see her begin to speak, you just know. Yeah, I'm sure you're feeling this too, at least for me, Veronica. When I meet somebody and I know they have contact, big mm-hmm. contact, I get emotional. I can absolutely feel it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a telepathic kind of thing where you absolutely know this person is really in contact. Mary Rodwell, out of ACERN, A-C-E-R-N. I don't know what the N piece is because she's out of Australia. I know Mary, and her work, especially with the children over there. Again, on YouTube, there are a lot of YouTube things from Mary. She's done some great work. What's been interesting to me is Mary is looking more and more like an ET every day. And I met Mary when I met Adrienne DeVere at that same conference and did some work with her on, she was working with experiencers, and anyway, I gave a talk at the conference. Bashar, of course, always brilliant work. Robert Salas, although he doesn't do active things, there are a lot of things about him. Love him. A lot of information. Certainly, he did a lot of disclosure about the number of races that have been cataloged through the military and so on. And if you search his name, Salas, you'll find a lot of different places that you can listen to him speak. When I meet Robert, I start to cry every time if I see him speak. Judy Carroll, of course, and Helen Kay that we had on the show. You've had them on. I've had them on. And the list just goes on and on. And what I'm seeing is that the messages that are coming forward now are messages of peace. They're messages of help. They're messages of love. Literally trying to do away with all of the negative things that we've projected out into the cosmos. And, you know, if we can't get along on Earth, we're going to project it out there. I promise you, that's the way it works with human consciousness. And I want to throw in here, because Judy Carroll and Helen Kay both talked about being aware of their lifetimes as Zetas. And Barbara talks about being aboard ship, and she's aboard a ship, and she's doing work, and so on and so forth, and this reptilian pops in, and morphin, you know, they have a tendency to just shapeshift in it. It's so interesting, and I know I'm not using the right words. And I thought it was very interesting, since she and Dr. John Mack, they've both been seen by their clients and patients aboard ship. So it leads me to believe that if we're doing this work, I know people have seen me aboard ship a lot of times. So it leads me to believe that if we're focused in a certain arena, that we're working on both sides of the veil. That, you know, when we go to sleep at night, which may account for the reason for all of us being so damn tired all the time. Interestingly enough, Barbara Lamb and Dr. Mack were so close. Both, and of course, Dr. Mack's patients experienced him when they were being abducted aboard ship. And so, you know, I think we're starting to cross some of these barriers as more and more of this is coming out. that other people are either aware of their other lifetimes and or being seen aboard ship or having experiences aboard ship where they're actively involved in what's going on with the abductions, which in Barbara's case are with the reptilians, and she speaks of them very lovingly. She also does delineate that there are different factions, and again, I think that we have to remember that there not only are there different factions of every race, but there are also past, present, and future that we're encountering. Mary Rodwell's work with the children as well as adults is extraordinary, and I've talked about this before. She does so much work with children. She's also a hypnotherapist. And, of course, she has 2 DVDs on her website. If you search Mary Rodwell, you'll find it's ACERN. Unfortunately, I don't know the ending of it. And if you can get those DVDs, they're brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I've certainly mentioned them enough on the air, especially where she is working with this group of young people who are all doing automatic drawing. They have to be watching television or something and working with their non-dominant hand. And each one of them had a drawing. And when they all came together, one of them, Mary brought them all together, one of the kids said, if we put these pictures together, it creates a big picture. And he was absolutely right. And they all fit together to create the history of the universe.
Wow.
And she has that on the DVD. So, you know, all these pieces to me, you know, a lot of things I absolutely forget, but if it's anything to do with this, it's recorded. All those pieces are filed in there. And obviously I don't have room for trivia. So again, you can view them on YouTube. I think that Robert Salas has some YouTubes as well. Just a beautiful soul. But I'm loving that people are, I have a lot of reports where I show up with members of the team who are described as these very highly evolved beings from the other side of the veil, extraterrestrial in nature, but with a high spiritual level, and I love that. Everybody always reports the love, which I appreciate. Then there's another factor, and I have clients that I was working with, both a husband and wife, and I may have mentioned this before, but the last session before he made his transition, his father was there and telling him, you know, for crying out loud, go have sex and, you know, enjoy it while you can, and flexing his muscles and so on. So it was just very, very, very cute. And he was just, boom, gone like that. And immediately he started contacting all these different people all over the world. He was from South Africa. They were living in Los Angeles. But he had friends all over the world. And each person was calling his wife to say, I got a message from Steve. Here it is. As it pertained to the memorial, to the they have a large property in California where they facilitate a lot of metaphysical activities. And he actually was getting messages to everyone and so on and so forth, sending people. He sent one man to help her. And she had no idea. I mean, she had seen him a couple of times at events. But he just showed up, and he said, I'm here to help you prepare for the memorial and to see you through this. He's married. It was not, you know, it certainly was not anything other than to be of assistance. He stayed because they have cottages on the property. He stayed there. He worked so hard and continues to do so. And it was very interesting during her session today that the team, and I, it was very moving to me because I feel Steve so strongly and have brought him through a couple of times for her. And that the connection that this young man had that came to assist her, they have another lifetime on a different level and dimension as another race and are very connected. And he was able to influence this young man to assist. The number of messages from people, though, was just dramatic. I've never seen that before at that level, that many people. It was just extraordinary. And he needed something done so that he could continue his work. And she contacted me in between sessions and said, I need to get in as soon as possible, blah, 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 this needs to be done. So what's exciting to me is some people are crossing over and going right to work.
That's very exciting, isn't it?
That's just thrilling to me. And Veronica, I know you've had some experiences.
Well, these ones, okay, one of them was my adopted daughter who was a native Canadian and had been, oh boy, she had been impaired lineage. Her lineage was really incredible, you know, lots of drugs and alcohol and very limited. And one of the things I like saying about her, even though her ending with AIDS and so on was fairly grueling, she was way filled with light. She'd had such a darkness in her when she was young. And, you know, when I was her mother, she had a huge darkness in her, and she was getting lighter and lighter. She's still using. She was still off the wall and doing all the things that she wanted to do. But I feel like she had a successful life, if you understand what I mean. For the first time, I really thought, this is a successful life. She was somebody who served other people in the community in which she was going for doctoring and so on, you know. So it was a hard, I don't know why it's so hard to lose people, but sometimes you lose them because they're so tangled up in your life and there's got to be some kind of letting go of your identity or something. Because I was glad that she got released, if you know what I mean.
Well, she was, and again, I don't know if the audience understood that she was a native North American. Okay.
Right.
And so she was what we refer to as Indian. But the drugs and alcohol for her are tragic, much worse than they would be for anybody else.
And I found out sitting around her hospital bed that her mother, who had had her at 15, was already an addict and an alcoholic and a prostitute. So we weren't given very much information when we took her on, you know, as a little girl. But we all sat around going, she really didn't have much chance, did she, to be anything but living in that track? No?
No, she didn't. And
no.
Again, this is what we have to remember. We really don't know what people come in here to experience.
Exactly.
And this is the whole point of laying down with... this hit me so strongly, the line laying with the lamb, that only when we can, as Debbie Ford said, have the eyes of a sage, where we can look at everything with love and compassion and no judgment. And that's not necessarily easy. But it is where we have to go in order to unite on the broadest scale with, you know, as they talked about in the very beginning, paradise on earth. We can't get there if we're still carrying, like, you know, or if we're in judgment of people not understanding what they may have come in to do or what their contract was.
Well, and that's the thing with Naomi. I'm very, very conscious of the fact that she probably got something that you can't tell by the
Well, I would go further than that, Veronica. She also gave something.
Yes, indeed. I started writing lists of what I received from her, and so did others.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. The energy flows both ways. There's no way for it not to move both directions.
Well, when I say got something, many think of her as being trapped in an endless, bleak life, but that wasn't so. Her purpose was a lot more textured than that. There was a lot more giving, receiving, sharing.
Absolutely.
Loving. She learned a lot about love. She gave a lot of love.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
But it's a good lesson for us all, isn't it?
it absolutely is to support the choice of the soul at whatever point they are, to love and support them. And I, you know, this is, again, I'm getting beat up with this stuff right now, and I say that very lovingly, but I'm literally waves of it coming into me going, do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? And I'm like, I get it. I get it. Okay, I get it. I'm also seeing a lot more compassion, understanding, and a falling away of confusion that people carried about life and the cosmos, and how it's going to affect the planet. And certainly as the bridge for what's coming, you know, our job is to hold the essence of that with the highest light. And if we're afraid, we can't do that. So we all have to look at ourselves and say, where do I carry uncertainty and fear? Or do I, you know? And can I move to the level of the sage? As I've been doing tons of research, again, I see what happens with humans when they don't understand something. They kill it.
Mm-hmm.
They just kill it. They negotiate with it or they screw it. It's just amazing to me. It's amazing to me. But I understand. Again, there's not a judgment there. I just see what it takes. Okay, and the great volunteers some of these beings have been that have come here trying to assist in some way, many of them have lost their lives, many. And if any of you find Robert Solis's interviews online, he'll talk about watching them being killed. It's very moving. And, you know, we go back to our relationships with others on Earth. When we're able to settle our differences, you know, and really look at, can we see the beauty in each other and move out of judgment into love? Okay? This was your great opportunity with Naomi, Veronica.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Your great opportunity with Naomi. And, you know, we all have people in our life that have a bit of sandpaper when we're around them. Be they children, parents, friends, whoever. And I just keep going back to accepting and loving them as they are. Whether they drink too much, they do drugs, they do this, they do it, it just doesn't matter. If I love you, I love you. And I honor your right to have your experience, whatever that may be, without judgment and without arrogance, you know, the better than, because that's a catch-22 for everybody anyway. That'll go right to the negative ego. The other thing, and this really came in, it was coming in with all this other information that I'm like, kind of these waves coming in, was to look at the interspecies relationships. We've all gotten email with pictures of interspecies relationships, unlikely interspecies relationships in the animal kingdom. And we're seeing that. I don't know if you've seen any, Veronica. I've seen so many of them.
I haven't seen them.
Oh, my goodness. Of course, I do. I get a lot of them. And the whole interspecies relationship, the team was talking to somebody about that, I think, yesterday. And I could feel the energy of it. It was just so beautiful as they were talking. And I'm like, oh. And it came on the heels of this, you know, and the lion shall lie down with the lamb. And so the whole interspecies piece came in and said, look, the interspecies piece is a reflection of where you're all going, connecting with all of life everywhere, all right, where nationality and race make no difference. And I, you know, I mean that in the literal sense, whether it's on Earth or off of Earth, somebody sent me their statue, Vicky, tonight, that she's doing of a praying mantis being, and I was over, and it's big. I was overwhelmed when I saw it, and it's an inspired piece. And now that's not something that people sit around and go, gee, I think I'll sculpt a praying mantis, a giant praying mantis. And this was an actual extraterrestrial being, not the little praying mantis that we see in the garden, although they are related. And it does happen. There was somebody on one of these forums I'm on, and he had the biggest praying mantis I've ever seen in his home. And he was having experiences with praying mantis beings. And it was just so fascinating to watch it. I've seen it happen before with other people as well, where a praying mantis will just show up and not leave. Hello, I'm here. Again, we're back to Men in Black here. There's always some truth in everything. And again, I want to say to all of you, I know the energies have been between the solar flares and the grand trine this week, and Lord knows what. I just think they're sitting up there pushing buttons.
this one will really get them.
I think it's been tough to recognize all the love, but if you pay attention, it's really coming in. Mm-hmm. And I had one person, Jacqueline, who said, every once in a while I get overwhelmed with a sense of love. I just want to be able to hold it. But we get caught up in the physical distraction. Mm-hmm. And, with time and space shortening up so much, it's like, I got to get to everything as quickly as I can. I think we all are feeling that because you don't know when you're, and I know you don't sleep much.
No, I have been sleeping lately, though. That's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Oh, well, good.
I've been a bit exhausted, maybe, huh?
Well, I think you've got a lot going on. I think welcome to Earth. Welcome to almost 2012. Okay, I'm gonna go into channel here, and
I just want to remind people, if you have a question for the team on abductions or anything, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, and I will, and no H in Entwistle, and I will give your question to the team.
All right, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We know that these energies haven't been very easy for all of you, but it's like shaking loose. All right. Kind of the places where you're stuck and you're holding old energies and anything that gets in the way of allowing things to flow through, to get in touch with, to break up habits and distractions, so that you can open to feel and receive all that's coming towards you. To even get an idea, we think it's theoretical for many people. Oh, yes, they're all up there working, helping us. I can't see them, but I know somebody said they were there. And we want to say to you, you really have no idea. You have no idea how much of a focus is on assisting all of you. All of you. You're practicing in moments to become multidimensional. And some of you can feel like you're in overwhelm. Well, I got to run my chakras, and I got to meditate, and I got to do this, and I got to do my yoga, and I got to do special breathing, and you know, and I have to go to work, and it could be overwhelming. We know that. And I have to think about this up here and this down there and pay this bill and over here get the tires fixed. So as you're expanding, it can feel overwhelming. It can create a state of exhaustion because it's cutting new neural pathways in the brain. That's why we're doing a lot of work with the integration between right and left hemisphere, to try to help you a little bit, give you a little jump start so it's not quite so difficult. It's like driving on an interstate highway. You know, you're kind of going along from state to state, and then you get into downtown Los Angeles. And that's pretty much what's happening in your brain. You've hit downtown Los Angeles. All right? Everything going every which way. And you're not sure which off-ramp to take and on-ramp and how to get this direction and that direction. And basically, that's what's going on in your mind. Right? For some of you, tough to stay grounded. For others, a few moments of great clarity and grounding. Hold on to those. For many of you, more than ever before, realizing that you are having other experiences, there are other aspects of you, and for those of you that, you know, saw the movie Avatar, it came in at a perfect time. Please, you know, these things do show up just when they're supposed to. Just when they're supposed to. It's actually quite wonderful. The realization, although it's gentle right now, of the possibilities, even though we've talked about them in the past. And you all know that there really is no time in the cosmos, all right? We've talked about having these other lifetimes going on simultaneous with this one. And more you're going to have this sensing of being more than one place at the same time. It doesn't mean you're doing the same thing yet. And you won't be. You're going to be doing this here and that there. And if you look at Bashar, it's a perfect example. Bashar used to, years ago, when people would ask a question, and Bashar would get in touch with the version of himself that would have the answer. That's a lot of work, but it did a great job, all right? Did a great job. Now, compassionate detachment. We liked what the channel read, through the eyes of the sage. Retraining yourselves not to go back to the past, but it be a backdrop. Your old reactions and responses to things aren't going to work now. They bring you right back to another time when you weren't where you are now, as evolved, as understanding, as knowledgeable, as loving as you are now, with a greater capacity for understanding. When you can expand your views
your world as you see it, and it is your world more ways than you know. And then you have your family and your intimates, and then you expand to your little community, and on and on and on, till you expand across your globe, which is overwhelming for many of you at best. All right. We don't think there are many of you that can identify where every country is. And for many, you're not certain exactly, you know, what continent they're on, some of them. And now you're being asked to, okay, open up to so much more. Pull out and recognize your relationship with the universe. And beyond that, a multiverse. Well, it gets to be a little overwhelming. Look, I got lost on my way to work today. You want me to look at the whole multiverse? And for some of you, that's why you are a little frazzled. Right? Because you are connected on many different levels. Many different levels, and many of you in the dream time are actively participating, being of assistance in some of the places on earth that are needing assistance, light, love, hope. Now, well, why don't I remember it? Because you don't have the capacity at this time to hold all of that together with all you experience in your awake time. It would be too overwhelming, and it could interfere with a natural evolution of where you're going. For some of you, you're going to start having bleed-throughs. We promise you. We've already heard some. We've already heard you. I was in Africa, and I don't know how I got there, and this happened and that happened. Yes. Go on. Was it a dream? No. It wasn't a dream. It was an experience. This is one of the reasons, people, to step out of judgment of everyone and realize they may be doing far more than you know in other ways. Another way. And if what you're doing isn't important, you're not going to be on earth. Oh, what do you mean? What about those child molesters? They don't belong here. There are situations that are highly challenging for all of you. We understand that. We understand that. There are many situations that are challenging. And if you've spent your time being upset or angry about all of them, nothing would happen in your life. All you would do is react to your reality instead of respond. You wouldn't have time to respond. You wouldn't have time to be proactive. You'd be reacting all the time, which would distract you terribly. Being angry, fighting injustice, or being afraid, and that makes no sense. We've tried to help you to remember about being in dominion, about working with beliefs, how to create your reality. These are all things, there are wonderful tools out there, people, to help you with these things. This is the time. This is not something you wait till retirement, to your retirement, to do. You need to be proactive. Dear Bonnie does a wonderful job. She's writing a book right now. tools. That's responding, not reacting to reality. All right, Veronica, you have a question.
Yes, this is a little bit of a different topic, but it's okay, I think. Deb O'Connor, who's our astrology visitor, she was asking about animals. She said the oneness is so important and learning to live in a oneness, higher consciousness of love and compassion. She says, is it going to actually impact how we handle animals, and what role do these wild and domestic animals play in the larger picture?
Oh, yes.
Some way to ease their suffering as they accompany us toward a lighter way of being.
All right. As you look around and you see the humans that suffer, you look around and see the animals that suffer. For some of you, all right, the animal suffering is more difficult than seeing children suffer. For some, it's more difficult to see children suffer than animals. Is one right and one wrong? No. Again, subjective reality based on emotionality and experience. For many of you, animals represent innocence, as do children, but it's a little different. Depends on how you run it. You can't save everything. You know, aligning, and Deb, we speak to you directly. You're a wonderful soul. You do some great work. Great work with me. We could say to you, align with a different version of reality. You're changing dimensions all the time. The more you heal you, the more you're going with the intent of experiencing more harmony in the animal kingdom, more respect for the animal kingdom, the more you're going to experience that. The more that any of you do the same thing for children and the underdog, the underprivileged, the starving, etc., there is another way to do this. Can you be proactive and go out there? And yes. But when you campaign, don't campaign against, campaign for. Campaign for whatever it is you feel draws you. If that is your path. If that's what you want to do. More and more. And this is why the interspecies relationships are so important. They are a reminder to humans to break down their barriers. With their love, once again, they are assisting all of you. Now, many humans have not understood the role that the animals played on the planet. Misinterpretation of the Bible about, oh, you have, you know, dominion over everything. And so, dominion, yes. Not brutality, not sport. Living in harmony with, in honor of, and you will return to that. Already you're seeing people moving away from eating beef. You're seeing all kinds of recommendations coming out about becoming a vegetarian, which not all of you can do, we remind you. Not all of you can do that. At some point in the future, there is a possibility that proteins will be created through cloning without soul. However, this is why there are races that when they come around you, your auric field stinks. All right? Consumption of animal flesh and toxins and anger, hate, in your work field, people. Now, everybody wants to know, when are the extraterrestrials going to land? And we will tell you now, they can't until all of you evolve more. Because they won't be able to, we've said this before, they would not be able to survive on the planet, even the hybrid children. It's coming close. It's coming very close. It should make sense to you now why a hybrid race was needed as a bridge for your planet. Does it make sense to you, Veronica?
Yes, yes. I guess I'm confused about the fact they're not going to come unless we've all evolved. I mean,
We didn't say that.
Okay.
We said, yes, you have to evolve more. All right.
Okay.
You already know 2012 is a tipping point. There'll be people sitting on mountaintops waiting for the ships to come in, we promise you. We promise you. However, all right, and you might get a flyby here and there. We're not saying you may not get a flyby. But we're not talking about close encounters of the third kind, either. Right, there's a difference.
Are some of them actually living on the planet in screened form, though?
They may pop in and out. All right. We think that there's a lot of information out there that's, you know, there are a lot of people saying, I'm really an ET. Well, yes, and this is where they get confused. Again, we'll bring back up the fact that people who are very connected, working both places, are having a tendency for their looks to start changing. Look at Bashar, who looks more, well, Daryl, who looks more and more like Bashar. You go back and look at pictures of him years ago, he's transformed. Is transformed as the only human lifetime that Bashar ever had. Now, again, we talked about the channel did Mary Rodwell. All right, looks more and more extraterrestrial, less and less human. You're going to notice these things.
Power of association, eh?
Well, again, as the frequencies change, they're able to hold more of that frequency. So some of these people that are coming forward, all right, may get a little confused. It may feel as though that's who they are. Understandable. Still open to interpretation for the simple reason that living on Earth fully as an extraterrestrial can't be done. There's the argument, well, there's, you know, cities inside the Earth and all kinds of things. And hold on.
We'll have to be done in a minute.
We really aren't going to comment on that.
Well, we'll have to be done. We've got like 2 minutes.
All right. Veronica, talk about your shows.
Okay. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, I'm going to be talking to James Olson about the whole brain path to peace, the role of the left and the right brain dominance.
Good.
And he's talking about it in reunification of America polarization and reunification of America. So it's kind of interesting how we can use our brain.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yes.
And 7 o'clock on Thursday, I'm back talking about probably oneness again and releasing of fears. So that's Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Important work, Veronica. That's important work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We would like to work with all of you tonight. All of you that are willing. All right. Protocol, you go to bed and call us in. Dear team, would you please come work with me tonight? We would like to give you an introduction, a preview, a peek at some of the things you may be doing. And if you will request that when you call us in. We're working with all of you to bring more and more out of your dream time. More and more, we encourage all of you to keep a dream log. Right now, more than ever before, you're going to see how prophetic, how those pieces a month from now will fit into something 2 months from now. Do not underestimate. Well, I had a silly dream. Don't worry about it. Just write it down. But do it as soon as you wake up. As always, a joy for us to be with you. To spend time with you in this way. Because we do love you. We do honor the path that all of you are on. We know it's not beneath you, people, but you are moving into things that are beyond your imagination. So beautiful. Into a time of empowerment for all of you, where you really will know how to create your reality. We're hoping that you're learning more and more about that every day.
Mm-hmm.
Deborah, we thank you for your question. It was a wonderful one. It was a wonderful one. We would encourage you to, in your meditations or with crystals, take pictures of animals or the collective of animals and work with them. Work with that collective energy. Be proactive even in that way, which can be far more than you know. We love you, dear ones. Veronica, we love you.
We
thank you all for being with us tonight. And until we speak with you again in this format, and possibly tonight, namaste, everyone.
Namaste. Good night, everyone.